I have Christine McCarthy with me via phone. Christine is the Environmental Services Director of Lake County, and an incredibly important job it is. And not only that, but Christine is with me frequently on the radio. Thanks for being here, Christine.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Katya.
Absolutely. And there's always pretty much endless things to talk about with what's going on with county and environmental services. But let's start just by talking a little bit about vacation rentals. People are always really interested in that. It's been a hot topic recently, and I know the county has recently put a cap on rentals, and I thought maybe you could just explain a little bit about how the process works so that is not a mystery. It's a pretty extensive process, and people should know what it is. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I think the first thing would be, Lake County has a very robust vacation rental ordinance and a procedure to go through. So that's important to know that, when you compare it to some other parts of the state, we try really hard to make sure that we're doing a good job of overseeing how those vacation rentals get permitted.
Yep.
So if you'd like me to go through some of the more important parts of whether you can get one or not and that process, I'd be happy to do that. I think the first thing it's important to know, of course, now that we have a cap, is whether if you're at the max number of permits allowable for the area. So, for example, we carved out an area of Knife River, kind of south of Highway 61 and consisting of only two of the sections. And the reason we're doing that is because very dense, properties there. We want to make sure not too many are being, not too many houses are being taken away, of course, for families. So Knife River is currently at their cap, which is three. And so maybe it's not three. I'm going to be careful how many I don't have that in front of me.
Okay. Yep.
But that Knife River is cap, and so is the Beaver Bay Township. And so the other thing that's interesting about this new ordinance is that the Fall Lake Township is not included in a cap.
Yes.
Then their supervisor is elected not to be a part of that. Also is Inland Lakes. Inland Lakes are not allowed to have vacation rentals. However, in unorganized territory one, they are, and that's kind of a less dense area. It tends to be much more just recreational, less, family living in that area, not to exclude the ones that are, but in general, that was an area that was left out for that reason. Now, if you're in any commercial zoning, you do not have to meet the cap, but you do have to meet the minimum requirements and go through the regular process.
Okay. Yep. Those are all really interesting. It seems like there is a certain level of local control over, like you said, Fall Lake said we want as many as we want. And why the Inland Lakes restriction? Is that because that's just because so many cabin owners spoke up about this?
Well, I think part of it is that a lot of those Inland Lakes are kind of family-owned. They tend to be, they don't get turned around so often as far as property transfers. They tend to be more handed down from families and that kind of be aware of that fact, whereas along Lake Superior, there's a lot of property transfers. It's the most highly populated areas of vacation rentals in the county.
Yeah.
So it's kind of reserving an area for people to not have to deal with that. Different opinions across the board on that, perhaps, but that was the general consensus.
Yeah.
And it wasn't debated too much. And so the other thing to think about, too, is that the cap was set at 3% of the houses identified in the census. So, it's a federal number that we were given to work with. And so 3% is where we set it because it's much easier to raise it than it is to lower it.
Yeah.
We plan to look at this over the years to kind of understand how fast we meet those caps, how fast they turn over, things like that. We don't have many waiting lists at this point, but when they do, I think we're going to be much more sensitive to make sure that the permits that have been issued are meeting their requirements. So it's being fair to the people waiting in line, basically. And so what's most important is there's a couple of things to even qualify for submitting an app. You know, when you submit an application, an initial application, of course, is that you have to have a complying lot. So, or your parcel needs to meet the minimum requirements for your zoning district. There's a unique thing about Lake Superior. If you're within the North Shore Management Board area and you had a qualifying 1 acre lot prior to the change to 2 acres, you can qualify. Other than that, you know, whatever zoning district you're in, you have to make sure you have that minimum amount of acreage. You can't have any violations currently on the property, and you also have to have a complying septic system. So we set the guest limit based upon the capacity of the septic system.
Okay.
But also, you know, in part of this process, once you get a hearing and the Planning Commission recommends approval to the commissioners, and the commissioners then would approve or deny that request or that application. So you always get 1 year in the first year. And then you have to come back after 1 year. And if there's no complaints and there's been no problems, we feel like the Planning Commission has done a review and kind of feels like you're doing your job, you can get up to a renewal for 5 years.
Okay.
However, if there's been problems, we get complaints from the neighbors, various reasons, then they either can deny it or they can maybe only renew it for one more year. And then if you've proven that things are working well, then you can, you know, come back and get it maybe 5 years at that point.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, I think what's frustrating on our end is that, you know, people just say that, you know, I don't want any big parties. And they just assume that if there's going to be a vacation rental next to them, that it's going to be bad news. And, you know, if we don't hear about it, we can't do anything about it. So we always encourage you to let us know what's going on so we can at least try to fix the problem.
Yep.
But at the same time, our goal is for you to not even know there's a vacation rental next door.
Yeah.
We're hoping that people are respectful. We've got a lot of requirements in place to make sure that people are staying on the property, that you really don't know are being infringed upon your privacy, so to speak.
Yes. And Christine, I'm listening to this as a potential neighbor of a vacation rental, and I'm wondering two things. One, it seems easy to imagine that one's own, just your own little voice doesn't really make a difference. Is one complaint enough for the board to pause at a permit?
Not necessarily. I think what's important is that everybody's idea of what is disturbing is different than another's, and so we certainly look into it.
Yes.
I think a pattern of issues and certainly more than one complaint rises it up a little bit, makes it more concerned, but we don't, we look into everything. However, if there's a significant amount of issues, we certainly will bring in for a revocation perhaps. And, you know, they can give the Planning Commission an opportunity to review the information that we've had so far regarding that. We have revoked some permits based on either the owner has failed to comply with the rules or, you know, we haven't had too many where there's been a lot of problems because usually, for the most part, people really want to, you know, respect the neighbors. We've had some issues. We try to resolve them by requiring different things. You know, there's a lot of things that could be a problem. But, you know, for the most part, although people might not see it on their end, we really are, I think we're doing a really good job. But that's for the ones we know about.
Right.
If you don't know it's a vacation rental, and, you know, we only have limited staff and limited opportunities to be out and about. When we don't know about it, we can't do anything about it.
And so you welcome community input on this. So let's just clarify that.
Definitely.
Like
I think it can't work without it.
Right, right. So it seems like, you know, if people have questions even, or they're wondering, what is the rule? Like, are you allowed to be loud? And what is considered loud? Or can they have a campfire? That kind of thing. That's all good reasons to call you.
And the other thing that's important to remember is that the City of Two Harbors has their own requirements and their own set of rules. So
yes.
We do not have jurisdiction over any of the municipalities. So Silver Bay, Beaver Bay, or Two Harbors. So it's just county property. So if you would are within the city of Two Harbors or Beaver Bay or Silver Bay, then you need to call your local city administrator or whoever to kind of take care of that.
And Christine, what's the best number to call you or reach you or email? I just would love to give people ample opportunity to contact you.
Oh, we have a planning and zoning email, and because we're so significantly short-staffed right now, we're kind of relying on our emails to do so. And gosh, I should have that off the top of my head, but I don't. It's available on our website. It's planningandzoning@cl.lake.
Planning and zoning is the place. That's maybe the thing to remember.
And if you send us an email, that would really be helpful, so we can kind of look into it.
Great. Let's move on, Christine. I'm sure we could keep talking about that, but I really want to touch on the regional waste plan, which I was at the meeting on Tuesday, and it just was passed unanimously by the board. This is a big deal. So tell us, I know we've discussed it before, but it hasn't been passed yet. So what does this mean for Lake County?
Right. Yeah, it's a big deal as far as, you know, how we're going to manage our waste within, you know, the entire Northeast region. And so basically the Northeast region for solid waste comprises Carlton County, of course, Lake County, Cook County, Itasca County, St. Louis County, Aiken County, Coochin County, and WLSSD. So it's a large area. And the reason that this is important is with the capacity of Moccasin Mike and Superior, you know, basically almost full. I don't know, we've got a couple years on that now, maybe more. But we need to plan ahead and make sure we have an alternative way to bring our waste in. Everything from Cook and Lake County basically goes to the WLSSD transfer station, and that is then brought to Superior. So when Superior closes, we don't want to have to rely on the waste going all the way into, for example, Elk River or to Sonora, Wisconsin, which is significant travel, significant higher carbon footprint, but also a significant more expense. I think garbage is always going to be expensive and it's going to get more expensive, but I think having a regional landfill at this point is really important. So in order to get a certificate of need, it's called CON, from the state, the region had to pull together the information that they currently have and basically have that available to the state so they can issue a certificate of need to allow a new landfill to be constructed. So now currently the only solid waste landfill within that region is at Virginia, St. Louis County, Virginia. So I know that they're evaluating their waste capacity, and it's very possible we'll be able to bring some there. However, we know that there's a private company that is wants to get one open in Keewatin, but there's also some alternatives in Canyon, and these are all being evaluated. But there's no way that they're going to get an opportunity to expand or create a new solid waste landfill without this certificate. And so what the regional plan does is show the amount of waste that's being generated in each area. And also solid waste, as solid waste officers, of which I am for Lake County, you know, we have to also show the state that we're trying to do waste diversion. And so when you look at the waste hierarchy, the very, very top is, of course, you know, reuse or don't even buy it in the first place. Try to buy an alternative that is not something that's disposable. And then as you work down from, you know, the composting and the recycling, the very bottom of that hierarchy is landfilling, right? And so what they want us to do is prove to them that we are making efforts or we have initiatives in order to create that waste diversion. And so one of the things that Cook Lake and Grand Portage, we have that grant from the state currently in order to increase recycling, and that recycling includes composting, and to show that, we want a new landfill in the area, but we are willing to make efforts to reduce our overall waste.
That's so good news and so important, and it's not new, but thank you for saying it again. Are you looking ahead to what are we going to be able to do about recycling and composting to expand those things?
Yeah, so I think it's in a matter of really making sure people understand it. I think it really starts with education, understanding how important it is to recycle. And that's a heavy lift in a lot of areas, but we keep trying. Composting is something that's actually a lot easier. We call it the low-hanging fruit because it really is a significant amount of the waste that goes to these landfills. And so with this grant, with the state, what we're trying to do is with the education and create some opportunities for composting. So it's not only just in your backyard, but it's, you know, if you're in a city or you're a restaurant, for example, I think what we want to do is work with them and try to get some opportunities to deal with those logistics of getting them to a composting bin.
Right.
And then getting that composting somewhere. So sometimes that's the hardest part. But I know that we're working with the U of M in this contract for this grant, and we're hoping to, you know, create some better opportunities. And, you know, that always takes money to make this happen. So this is some to help with equipment and just the logistics of that. But what the most important part of this grant is, we are doing a feasibility study. And what that's going to do is for the whole Cook Lake and Grand Portage is look at what is the quantity of waste we're currently generating, what is the amount we are actually composting and recycling, and what is the best way to move forward with some recycling and composting opportunities, right? And so various areas have bigger interest. The counties might have different approaches to things, as well as Grand Portage. What this feasibility study hopes to do is pull together that information and come up with some initiatives or some things that we can implement to really make a change or in the amount, right? And I think that everybody knowing that we really looked at what's the best place to put these would be a bigger sell, right? We want people to know, have the information, have a comfort level with that to support it. We're not going to have support if people don't understand it.
Right. I would think the goal is that by the time that garbage increases in price, which we know it's going to, you know, there are all these other opportunities so that people, whenever people are ready to do something different, there's a way to do something different. And there may be numerous ways to do something different.
Well, I think that you're going to find as, you know, with a new landfill in the area, there's going to be a cost. You know, a new landfill, there's going to be some higher tipping fees regardless. So, you know, that's not, you know, putting that on your waste collar isn't fair, right? I think that it's reasonable to assume that those rates are going to go up.
Yes.
So if you can base it on quantity, the more you compost and recycle, the hope is that your fees are going to be more reasonable then.
Right, which I think they absolutely will be. I just think it's such a, I mean, we are a free country, which to me means, you know, when you can do things in a market-based way, it's the best to do that. And so if something is getting more expensive, we look to alternatives. That's just common sense. And so I'm so excited that you're really at the, I mean, it's maybe still in the early stages of educating and informing and finding opportunity, but I just think in the long term, it's going to really change the way we do garbage and the way we think of garbage. So it's almost like planting a tree, Christine. I hope you feel like you kind of can feel how this is something that may not bear fruit for a long time.
Yes. In the last 8+ years I've been with the county, I feel like I've planted a lot of trees.
You have planted a lot of trees. And then, you know, I hope you live to be old enough to look back and go, yes, that was the beginning of some real change and things look really different now. And who knows how long it will take. But thank you so much for your work in this.
Well, you're welcome. I appreciate it.
And I'm going to keep asking you about it and make sure that listeners stay informed about waste. I know it's not the most sexy topic in the world, but I just think it's one of the most important.
I know it is
one that many listeners care about, too. So I think you're not alone.
Thank you.
We'll just keep going. Thank you so much, Christine, and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Katya. I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Christine McCarthy. She is the Environmental Services Director at Lake County and speaks with us on the radio frequently.